listening to Wellness Wednesday, a show about health and wellness in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. This week, the YK Fitness Center.
Everyone, how's everyone doing out there in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta? Shane Iverson here, an old grain familiar voice. It's great to be back on the airwaves, see everyone here in the building. And before we get started, I just want to thank everyone for their support of KYUK. It's great we can have an opportunity to do things like this because people just like you support this wonderful station. In the studio with me is the man, the myth, the legend, Paul Giannetti. Paul, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing well.
Right on. If you don't remember Paul from our last episode, maybe you've seen him towering above you if you've come into the YK Fitness Center. He's the Jesuit volunteer for the Fitness Center, Parks and Recreation Department, many great JVs all across town. And Paul is ours. And how are you settling in, Paul?
It's been great so far, you know, getting into a routine. The sun change is a bit different, but it's nice.
Yeah, going through that first Alaskan year, always something to remember as you move past it. Well, speaking of routines, you know, I think something we've both noticed, you know, I'm still pretty new to this whole fitness industry, at least as, you know, as a career. And you're getting into it too, and we've had some time to spend at the fitness center. Mm-hmm. And one of the observations I've made is we see certain people coming in at certain times on a regular basis. It's kind of called like regulars, you know? You got your regulars coming in.
Yeah, we got some regulars. We also have some people that, you know, we see once or twice when they start their membership up and then we don't see them again, so.
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting, you know? It's like, what is it that that brings people in and then what keeps them going? You know, it's like, it seems, especially during the daytime, some people have really figured out how to get into it and stay into it. And then, like you said, we see some people who come a few times and then we tend not to see too often. Mm-hmm. But it's really cool when we see someone new and then they just kind of keep coming and all of a sudden it's a new regular. And we get to see their, you know, be a part of their fitness journey. So I imagine there's quite a few people out there who think about their health, think about their fitness, wanting to be strong, wanting to be the best for themselves, be the best for their family. And so we want to kind of help you think through, you know, what it might take to get started on a fitness journey and, you know, what might be preventing you from doing that. And, you know, I can tell you now, everything we talk about isn't going to be unique to you. We all kind of go through these kind of steps, this progress towards a greater degree of fitness and health. And, you know, sometimes we fall off and we got to get back on the horse. But anyway, that's kind of the discussion we want to have. Do you think I described that well, Paul?
Yeah, you killed it.
Oh, good. Thanks. All right, man. Well, you know, I think to start off with, let's talk about, you know, why motivation can feel so hard, can feel so difficult. You know, I think that's kind of like the first step, is getting motivated to make that step. What do you think? Why do you think that is, like, so difficult for so many people so often?
Yeah, well, I would say this. Most people think that motivation is just something either you have or you don't have, but in reality, it's more of an emotion. So it fades, it fluctuates, just like happiness and sadness and anger and whatever else. So yeah, we need to treat it as such.
Motivation as an emotion.
Exactly.
Okay. Sometimes I feel happy, sometimes mm-hmm. I feel sad, right?
Yeah.
But you're saying like motivation isn't like a constant.
No, it's not going to be constant. Everybody has those days where they're tired and overwhelmed and working out or going to work or, you know, cleaning the house, doing the dishes, whatever it's going to be, just feels like it's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And that's natural. And building a habit and building that consistency where you want to become a regular, for example, in the YK Fitness Center, takes more than motivation. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how when motivation stops, how do we keep going and how do we continue to get in the gym?
So So you're saying like you can use motivation, but you shouldn't count on that to be there for you.
Correct. Yeah. So when we first start off, we have a lot of motivation. It's a new experience. We get a gym membership.
First of the year.
Exactly.
Right? First of the year, maybe a wedding's coming up that you want to look your best for, or something happens that makes you really want this new physique or new abilities, strength, health.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a health scare, right? Mm-hmm. You get a health scare of some kind and you're like, wow, I really should improve and I want to improve right now. That's not going to last?
No,
it is not
always going to last. So, I mean, in the examples you gave, as soon as the wedding's over, now what's your motivation?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you going to work out if you're not trying to stay or not trying to look good for the wedding? Or if it's a health thing, once you get to a point where you're healthy, how do you stay healthy? How do you stay motivated? How do you continue to improve? Yeah, that's what we're going to talk about.
Okay, all right. So I guess, do you think the goal is to then try to find ways to keep motivating, or do you just say, you know what, screw motivation, I don't even need to be motivated, I just need to do it? Or is there a balance, or what do you think?
I would say there's a balance. I mean, there's going to be days where you're going to feel motivated, and then working out and doing all your chores and whatever else it may be is going to be easy. You're just going to get up, you're going to go, you're going to be, you know, excited to do those things. But on days where you're not as excited, you need to be able to put the motivation aside and be like, yeah, I'm not motivated, but I'm going to do this anyway.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So I guess that's probably where people get stuck, really, or like kind of get in a rut. They fall out of that state of motivation, right? That emotion.
Yeah.
That thrill, that excitement, that anticipation for change. Real world, real life problems, day-to-day issues set in. And then you fall out of that state of motivation. So we want to like get it back, or do we just want to push through without it? Or
yeah,
or what's one do in that situation?
Yeah, so we'll talk about it. But basically, action precedes motivation.
Action precedes motivation.
Okay, most people think that when I'm motivated, I'll do something. That's the common line of reasoning. Oh, once I feel motivated, I'm going to get up and go to the gym. But in reality, if you get up and go to the gym, you're going to start to feel motivated. Once you get to the gym, you're going to be motivated to continue to work out and do an hour-long workout or whatever it may be. So the key is making small steps in the sense that we want to take small actions first in order to gain that motivation. So the first step, one small action would be, you know, if you don't have a gym membership, walk into the fitness center and get a gym membership. That's the first step. Second step, just say, all right, I'm just going to walk on the treadmill for 10 minutes. And if you do that every day for 7 days, then the next week you might try 20 minutes. So if you start with small actions and you continue to stay consistent with those small actions that are low barrier to entry, well, you'll see improvement over time.
All right, let's run this through a couple of scenarios. So let's take the vacation scenario first. You got a vacation coming up, right? You're gonna travel with people. You might be in a warmer setting, so maybe you'll be in a swimsuit and you want to look, you know, your best. It's a couple months away. You're really motivated, but a month sets in, and you've got your whole, you know, you're tired or just doesn't seem fun anymore. So you're saying, instead of maybe at that point focusing on everything you were looking forward to before, you might just break it down into a smaller little action.
Exactly. So in this scenario, if you're trying to look better for the gym and you've been doing hour-long workouts for the first month, you've been super motivated and that motivation falls off, maybe the next time you want to go to the gym or you're thinking about not going to the gym, just go on the treadmill for 15 minutes rather than thinking about that hour-long workout that you did last week. And it's not all or nothing. So, you know, perfection is the enemy of progress. So we want to make progress constantly, however small that may be. And so the smallest actions are going to get, if they're going to get you in the gym, then that's what you want to focus on.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. All right. And let's run it through the health scare scenario. You know, maybe you're in your middle ages, like myself. You get a checkup, or something happens in your life, and doctor says, "Hey, man, I got some got something to break down for you. Your health is not in the best condition, and if you continue like you are, it's not a great trajectory."
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, get motivated. You want to be healthy. You want to stay alive. You want to be, you know, there for your family. So you've been doing your workouts, and then, you know, month into it, 3 weeks into it, your job stress picks up, or, you know, you've got your kids are super busy and you're running around tending to their needs, and all of a sudden it's not looking like going to the gym is something you want to do anymore. So how would you apply this action creates motivation theory?
Yeah. So life can get busy, and you know, sometimes we don't always have time to make it to the actual building that is the gym. So if you have 20 minutes on your lunch break, maybe you do 10 push-ups and you walk around the office a few times or whatever it may be. Just those small, simple things that are going to make you 1% better rather than taking the big swing for the home run.
Mm-hmm.
You just get a single on base.
Yeah.
It's gonna help you continue to snowball down and get healthier and healthier and healthier. And I think everybody can walk around the office, you know, once or twice on their lunch break. I think that's a low barrier to entry that people can do. And then maybe it turns to 3 or 4 times.
That's a good, I mean, if we can just take a quick segment there too. I mean, we work at a fitness center, and obviously it's a place you come to get, you know, really focus on your physical fitness. But if you can't make it in, there's a lot of things you can do just standing, sitting in your office space or in your living room, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I remember like when all these, when I was a kid, aerobics became huge. I remember my mom, like Jane Fonda, was pushed a VCR tape of Jane Fonda, and she would do, you know, like a 45-minute workout to Jane Fonda. And then, you know, there's all these other ones. There's Beachbody, there's Pilates videos, there's all these videos. But even those, you know, that's like a decent chunk of time.
Yeah.
But we don't even necessarily need all that, right? I mean, it's great if you're motivated to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But just like you said, what's to stop you from doing 10 push-ups or, you know, 20 body squats?
Yep.
Or stretching? And what do you think? Do you think that helps you kind of like stay in that daily rhythm of doing something,
mm-hmm,
and getting, avoiding like that funk of just kind of doing nothing?
Yeah. I mean, I can talk from personal experience on days where I haven't wanted to go to the gym, or weeks where I haven't wanted to go to the gym. 20 bodyweight squats turns to 30, turns to 40, turns to 50. And now 50 bodyweight squats is taking a little while. I'm like, you know what? Like, I need to add some weight. And then I re-motivated myself to go to the gym.
Yeah. And you're in shape when you get there, too.
Exactly.
It's not like you're starting from scratch all over. I think that can be a tough point, too, is like, if you just let it go completely, you know, now your joints aren't used to working out. Your body just kind of gets out of alignment. And it's, especially as you get older, it's just harder to start from scratch, you know?
Yeah. Anything's better than nothing.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And then again, like, why? Okay. So we've done, you know, we've kept the small steps going, and, you know, hopefully you've been working out, doing some sort of physical activity to keep your body moving. Months down the line, and you've realized your goals.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like, kind of then what? That's when it gets really hard. You know, this is like the typical athlete conundrum. I mean, you can get an athlete that can just pound it out, ground it out, do everything right, work out, eat right, sleep right. And they get through their season and they don't really have a reason to. They don't feel they have a reason to anymore.
Yeah.
And they can get quickly out of shape.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do we avoid that? How do we I mean, if an athlete is going to struggle with this, how can the everyday person hope to keep a workout regimen going? How can they keep expect to want to stay at it?
Yeah. So we're like, in short, it helps you feel better. That would be the kind of overarching idea. So we're going to focus on intrinsic motivation. So you just listed an extrinsic motivator, like being good in your sport or losing weight or just looking good, or just someone sees you be able to lift a certain amount of weight or you look good or whatever. And those things are going to fade. But if we think about intrinsic motivation, like stress relief, mood improvement, better sleep, those types of things, just feeling better overall is going to be more likely to keep you in the gym, because that is never going to change. There's going to be situations where you, like you said, you realize your goal is you look cut, you're lifting this certain amount of weight, but once you reach those, you're not going to have as much, you know, motivation to keep on going. But if it helps you with your stress, nobody likes to be stressed. So you're going to be in the gym because it helps you relieve stress. Mm-hmm. And that's going to keep you in the gym.
Okay. So extrinsic, meaning like outside of you.
Correct.
And intrinsic meaning inside of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what are some more examples of intrinsic, do we call it motivators or reasons, I guess, or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the biggest one for me has always been better sleep. I find when I work out, when my head hits the pillow at night, I fall asleep quicker.
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel like I have better quality sleep. And I just feel a little bit happier throughout the day. If I get a workout in the morning, you know, I just feel like my, you know, chest is out a little bit further. My shoulders are back. I got a smile on my face. And of course, everybody wants those days. So.
Yeah. Okay. So for me, you know, when I get away from some sort of workout routine, I really start to feel bad in certain parts of my body. Like mm-hmm. my lower back is probably the biggest one. My neck and shoulders, like I can start to kink up. I can even, I call it kink. Yeah, I just call it kinking up. It's like my muscles in my neck just tighten up into like rocks, and I can't even hardly move from left to right, my neck. So yeah, I mean, I wish I remembered that more often when I start to get out of that routine of working out, because sometimes that's what prompts me to get back into it. I'm like, Shane, you can't let this happen to yourself, you know? It's kind of like same idea of doing things to keep from getting a cold or to keep from getting sick. I mean, we're all going to get a cold or sick sometimes, but you can through care for yourself reduce how often that is, or reduce the severity of your sickness. Because when we're sick, we all remember how good it feels just to be healthy. Mm-hmm. So, like, applying that kind of same thinking to being fit, could really help people out, I think.
Definitely, yeah. And this will segue into our meaningful why we have it, and how people become people who are in the gym, and they're in the gym over time. It starts to become part of their identity. And once you have that as your identity, I'm someone who works out, I'm someone who's healthy, and I'm someone who takes care of my body, then motivation fluctuates, it's less likely to get in the way of your training and your commitment, because it's who you are. You are somebody, and you don't want to let yourself down. So if you are somebody that takes care of your health, you go to the gym, even when you don't feel like going to the gym. So that comes with time, and after a couple months, but eventually people get there, and it's just who they are. Who they are is someone that goes to the gym and takes care of themselves.
Yeah, and that's the people I've really taken note of, working at the fitness center. You know, it could be someone of any ages. I tend to notice people kind of in their middle ages, you know, seem to have this really dialed in, where they, for whatever reason, you know, the reasons you've described, we've talked about, and their own, they come in almost every single day. Like, if they didn't show up, I would wonder, I would assume they're on vacation or like very sick or something like that. And yeah, I assume they have difficult days just like the rest of us. I assume they have other responsibilities. I assume they get tired. I assume they have the same challenges that many of us face, but somehow they show up every day to work out, to get something in, to move their body, to feel good.
Yeah.
We should get a little survey sometime, just be like, what keeps you coming back? And I'd love to pick their brain to see what their big why is.
Yeah.
Right on. You know, too, we've had some of these fitness classes. The fitness center's known for having classes, you know. Gabby from KYUK, for example, has done some boxing. Warren Polk has done judo. Lots of great people in the community have done have led classes to help, you know, get people involved and utilize people's natural interests in different sports and fitness and recreational regimens. And, you know, that's kind of fallen off as the city's taken over, and we're getting back into it as we kind of pick up our steam here again. But it's interesting because, like, for example, anyone could go bike at any time. But now there's going to be a fitness class with Rose leading it. She's led it before. I hear she's a really good instructor. And people are excited. They're excited because Rose is leading it. It's a class. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as someone who likes, I'm not really great at regimenting time. I kind of do things a little different every day. So it's always interesting to me that people are so excited to have to show up at a certain time and do a certain thing with a certain person.
Yeah.
Help me understand that, man. Why is that?
Yeah.
So why wouldn't they just want to do it whenever they can, however they want to?
It's about accountability. When you have one of those classes, when you have Rose, for example, teaching the cycling class, you're more likely to be accountable. You know, if you know somebody else that's going, like a friend or a family member, you're going to be more likely to go because you're having somebody else keep you accountable. It's not just solely dependent on you. And that segues into just building systems as a whole. Scheduling workouts and setting up, you know, your day and your environment to be able to get to those workouts is really, really important.
And so we were just talking about intrinsic reasons to stay fit, but this would kind of be an extrinsic. You're concerned with someone else's perception of you.
Mm-hmm.
You're concerned with holding up kind of like an informal agreement with someone.
Yeah.
That you don't want to break.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there still is like real, like extrinsic reasons we should be utilizing to our benefit, right?
Correct. Yeah.
But they're not always gonna be there for us.
They're not always gonna be there for us. Yeah. I mean, I would say this one, a good kind of metaphor for this would be like being on a team. When you're on a team, you don't want to let people down. All your teammates rely on you and you rely on them in order to win the match. So having someone that's relying on you to show up makes you more likely to show up and do your best. And you don't want to let your teammates down. You don't want to let people down.
Mm-hmm. Accountability. So when you can't get into a class, what are other ways you could try to utilize this idea, this kind of human inclination to your benefit?
Yeah. I know for me, I've done, you know, text a friend, be like, hey, this month, November, we're going to do 25 pushups every day.
Uh-huh.
You can do it at any time of day.
That's a good one. I should hit up one of my buddies who I've been trying to get to work out. We don't live near each other, but yeah, I've been worried about his fitness, as you know, we've both been pushing through middle ages now, and it's like, maybe that'd be a good one. We're both going to do push-ups today.
Yeah.
Tell me about yours.
Yeah, so before my head hit the pillow, I'd shoot a text to my friend, hey, did you do your push-ups today? Or if, you know, I didn't get around to doing that, he would text me, hey, did you do your push-ups today? And if I didn't, I was definitely going to do them right before I hopped in bed. Uh-huh. So, yeah, just having, you know, that buddy system where you can just keep it small and just hold each other accountable can be really, really helpful.
All right. So finding people, but having that inner drive, that inner reason that kind of is like the through line, your north, your navigational north is kind of like intrinsic. It's within you, but you're using all of these other kind of components, these ideas of these human tendencies to bolster, like your routine to make yourself a better person.
Exactly. So you know that you want to be a healthy person. That's your intrinsic motivator. You want to feel better. You want to have less stress. And then your extrinsic motivation would be that buddy or that class or anybody that can keep you accountable in order to achieve the intrinsic goal. So reach out to people and don't do it alone. You don't need to do it alone.
So one thing I've noticed as I've, you know, gotten older is you see people at, you get to experience yourself and your peers and then everyone younger than you kind of go through these life stages. And you know, when I'm coaching young kids, you got 30 kids, right, in a gym, and almost all of them are running around. They're active. They want to jump. They want to skip. They want to tag each other. They want to do. They just want to keep moving their bodies, right? And then kind of as we get older, some of that's going to fall off. And then as you kind of get like into adulthood, you see some people that, you know, never lost that. And then other people who I think they just kind of got out of touch of that side of themselves and they just kind of become more and more sedentary. They sit more, they move less. And at some point, they'll realize this is happening. They'll realize I am not moving enough. I'm putting on extra weight. It's not healthy for me. I don't feel so great. And they want to get that back. They remember their former selves. They remember their youthful self. Mm-hmm. And they want to get back to that state in some way. And, you know, that's like a tricky thing to navigate. Because their body has changed. They do have some extra weight, maybe. Their muscles might not be as toned. Their joints aren't used to the demands that they are now wanting to place on it. So where does someone go from there? You know, how do you recommend navigating that period in one's life?
Yeah. I would say it's about starting really small. Like we talked about a little bit earlier, it's not just going from no workout to I'm going to go to the gym every day and I'm going to work out an hour every day. So we need to start with something that's genuinely achievable and that is conducive to your body's ability at that time. So a good resource for this is the internet. Tell the internet exactly what you are. I'm 45 years old. I'm 20 pounds overweight. I haven't worked out in a year. What's a good workout for me to start with? And they'll give you something and you can just follow that. And, you know, if that workout seems like too much, do half of it or do a quarter of it or do just one exercise of those that they give you every day. And then that'll turn to two and then three and then four. So, yeah, I mean, stretching is a good place to start as well. Those are, you know, you can do those anywhere in the office, in the living room, whatever it may be. So, yeah.
Yeah, so the small. I like this because I think one of the biggest fallacies people have is what's been shown and told to them over and over again, which is like a workout to get in shape, you need to do something for an hour. You need to sweat. It needs to be hard. You need to push your body to the brink of what it can do. And then you need to do that 5 days a week. Yeah. And that's a lot, you know? That's like a lot on the body. And it's a lot for people's time and energy. And mm-hmm. It's not correct. It's like probably a really bad way to think about fitness for most people.
Yeah, definitely. It's not all or nothing. People tend to get into that, you know, that mindset, like we talked about earlier, perfection is the enemy of progress. Either you have to do 1 hour workout every single day and be perfect with every single set, or it's nothing. And that's not the case. So we can talk about, like I said, stretching, or, you know, if you're thinking about taking a cab to work, maybe try walking to work. Use those low barriers to entry and start really, really small. And you'll work your way up from there.
I always talk to my kids about, you know, I've told my kids, one of my jobs raising you is to make sure you don't leave the house with bad habits. Because I know from my own life, habits, it's such a small word. It sounds so insignificant, but habits are so powerful. Like, once you get started on doing something regularly, good, bad, or in between, I don't know what it is about human nature, but you just want to continue doing that same thing.
Yep.
So, you know, it's so easy to start a bad habit. It's usually something that feels good the first time, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, nicotine is like the classic bad habit, but there's so many other ones. You know, how do we start to think about forming habits, and then how do habits fit into this whole discussion we're having about fitness?
Yeah. Well, I would say it's tough. Definitely getting into those bad habits, they light like a match, and, you know, next thing you know, you have a forest fire. But we need to make whatever habit it may be, it's important to make those enjoyable. So find something that you enjoy and you'll love it, and then that habit becomes super duper easy. So whatever exercise that may be.
I keep going. It just made me think of something.
Yeah, yeah. So whatever exercise that may be, whether it be boxing, cycling, you know, rowing. We have a rowing machine at the gym. or lifting weights, you know, swimming. There's many different things that you can do. So find what works for you. What works for someone else is not going to work for you. What you see on Instagram and on Facebook of these people lifting a ton of weight is probably not going to work for every single one of you out there.
Well, what about waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning every day and starting your ice bath? You know, those kind of habits that they say you have to do to be successful.
Yeah, no, none of that. All of that is not true. You don't need to wake up at 5 a.m. You don't need to be lifting heavy weights. You don't need to work out for 2.5-3 hours every day. It's about finding something that you enjoy, because that's going to be more, you're going to be more likely to do it again and again and again. And if that's boxing, start with 10 minutes of boxing and work your way up. If that's lifting weights, start with a couple sets and then work your way up. But it's important that you find enjoyment in that activity itself, not just the result.
So we had the misfortune at the fitness center of the spa going out. The jacuzzi was out for months.
Mm-hmm.
As anyone who uses it regularly is well aware. And what we noticed is we were getting calls, right? Like 5-6 calls a day.
At least.
Is the jacuzzi fixed? Is the spa fixed? No, we'll let you know. And then, you know, just conversing with people, because they'd usually be like, yeah, I know, Shane. I know I've bothered you like every day for the last month about it. But here's the thing about that spa is that was really the thing that was the habit that got me into the fitness center. Like, that is the thing I enjoyed. So I would go through a workout, you know, like whether it's swimming or hitting the elliptical machine or lifting weights. Mm-hmm. But the habit that really made it enjoyable was soaking in that hot water for, you know, 15 minutes afterwards. And that's powerful. Like that, what you're saying, that enjoyment is so crucial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, in the example you gave too, it just made me think of, you know, using like a reward system.
The rewards.
Yep.
The treats.
Yeah. And using the spa as a healthy treat. So if you know that I'm going to be able to go in the spa for 10 minutes if I get this workout in, if that's your reason for getting the workout in, that's fine. If you do that over and over again and you look forward to the spa and maybe the workout's not, you know, the most enjoyable thing, but you have something after that you can look forward to in order to motivate you to get through it, that's great. That's healthy. I mean, I know when I was a child and we were in school, if we made it through a good week, we get a prize at the end of the week. And mm-hmm. that, you know, that kept me on my best behavior. So
finding that enjoyment and that treat, that reward to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, like, it is a reward to be healthy. It is a reward to feel good. It is a reward to look your best. But sometimes you just need something like tangible and right now.
Yeah.
So yeah, finding what that might be for yourself and living it out. But yeah, the spa is fixed, everybody. So I highly recommend you stop on by. We're going to keep going, but I just want to plug something right now. A lot of people think that the fitness center is like too expensive or they can't afford it, but we're going to be promoting this pretty heavy in the coming months, but it's actually affordable to everyone because we have a program that makes it affordable. It's called the Equitable Access Program. It was passed by the city council, and it means that you pay what you can afford to pay. So we just, when you come to the fitness center, and you can do this online too, there's just two questions. How many people live in your house, and what is the total income from your house? It's an estimate. We don't need you to like pull up your taxes. You don't need to bring in your W-2s. It's an honor system. You tell us. You answer those two questions, and you'd be surprised how many people qualify for a 25% discount, 50% discount, or even a 75% discount. So yeah, if you're not hauling in a bunch of money into your household, or you know, your household's packed full of people, those two factors are probably gonna help you qualify for some sort of really reduced membership. So don't let cost be a barrier. Figure out what it would cost for you to get like a monthly or annual membership, and yeah, don't let that be a barrier. So that's a financial barrier. But I think before people even get to the finances, there's actually things they probably need to work through, like within themselves, to get to that point where they want to work out, where they want to be in the fitness center, in the community, being seen sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So let's like talk about that for a little bit. When, you know, besides the financial aspect, you know, what is really the first kind of things that people might need to work through?
Yeah. Well, I think the biggest one is probably fear of failure or fear of being judged.
Oh yeah, especially as we get older.
Yeah. So, you know, when you get in the gym and you don't know what you're doing, or you drop a weight and everybody around is looking at you, or you think everybody around you is looking at you.
Nobody cares, but yeah.
Nobody cares, but that can be, you know, that can be difficult. Something you don't, especially if you're good at a lot of things. If you're really good at your job, but you're not really good at lifting weights, you know, you're going to feel judged because you're someone who's good at things. But I will say that from experience, everybody who's in the gym is just focused on themselves. And, you know, we see that most people don't even notice to their left or to their right what a person's doing. And so that fear of failure and judgment is purely an internal thing. It's not backed by evidence. So you know, acknowledging it and overcoming that is the first step to get in the gym.
Yeah, I think most people, you know, if you go into a fitness area and you can tell there's like some really experienced people, whether they're running fast or they got big muscles or they just look in shape, and that you don't feel like that's you. I think if they're even thinking about you at all, which they're, like we both said, they're really not. But to the fleeting moments that they think about you, what they're probably thinking is, that's someone like me who's trying to work out.
Yeah.
That's someone like me who's trying to get better, you know? There's like a fraternity. There's like a sisterhood of, we all kind of know what the struggle is, and anyone who's on that journey is like in the club. You're in the club just by coming into that space and trying. People in there, to the extent they even think about you, it's going to be positive thoughts.
Yeah, especially people who love fitness so much. If you see somebody, like you said, who's really muscular, is running really fast in the gym, they get motivated by seeing you in the gym as well. They love to see that someone else is sharing in their passion for the gym. So no, they're not judging you. They're thinking that it's great.
Yeah, that's probably the best person you could talk to for advice. They're not going to shoot you down. They're going to be happy to share their knowledge and their vast, you know, experience with you so that you could get better.
Exactly. They're willing to help out. Every expert was once a beginner, so they've been in your shoes before. They had a first time in the gym, and they felt judged and like they were going to fail and this and that, and people have gotten through it, and they're there to help you. Ask somebody in the gym. Ask somebody at the front desk. David is a great resource. If you guys know David, shout out David. He's pretty much an expert at the gym at this point, so he can always help you out if you guys don't know what to do.
Yeah, I think that's just so important in life in general. You know, it's like, that's one reason I really like working with young kids is, you know, nobody wants to look like less than, or like they don't know what they're doing, or feel dumb, you know? Mm-hmm. But like the younger you get, the less kind of people care about that. And kind of the older you get, the more people care about that. But if you can just drop that facade within yourself and be like, yeah, I'm not going to look great doing this. But that will allow you to achieve so many new skills, so much growth. I mean, I think that fear of failure, a fear of being judged, is like probably holds people back more than almost, I'd argue, probably anything.
Yeah.
You know, it holds you back more than your upbringing. It holds you back more than your physical or mental abilities, more than sex, race, you know, not to say all those things don't have some, can't create some sort of barriers, but if you are not afraid, or I shouldn't say not afraid, if you are willing to push through that fear of failure, of being judged, you can accomplish so much more than anyone who's got advantages that lives in that state of fear.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Come on by, you're not being judged, and you know, even if someone were to judge you, like honestly, who cares? Like, it's gonna last for a second, and then they're on to their busy life,
yep,
judging someone else,
mm-hmm,
judging themselves probably more than anybody. All right, so we've talked about, you know, fear of failure, fear of judgment. We've talked about, you know, finances and not letting that stop you. By the way, even if a 75% discount at the fitness center is too much, doing push-ups is free. Stretching is free, right?
That's
going for a walk is free.
Mm-hmm.
Meditating is free, all these things. So, all right. I know when I start something new, one of the hardest things is you don't even know what you don't know.
That's right.
You don't even know, like, oh, I don't even know what I'm supposed to know.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we call that? I don't know.
Lack of knowledge.
Lack of knowledge. We'll just call it lack of knowledge. Yeah. So yeah, we definitely see that. So what do we do about that?
Yeah. Well, we all have, you know, we probably all have phones in our hands. We can, you know, Google is a great resource. Hey, I don't know where to start. What's a good 15-minute workout that I can do? They'll give you something. They'll show you YouTube videos, how to do it. Same with stretching. Find a 15-minute stretching video. They'll walk you through everything. But if you're at the gym and, you know, you're already sitting on a machine and you don't know what to do, we actually have QR codes on the gym where you can take your phone and scan the QR code, and it'll give you a video demonstration of exactly how to do what you need to do with that machine.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yep. I mean, most people in the past have just kind of like stared at a machine, and then you like hope someone uses it, mm-hmm. and you can like watch them use it, but you don't want to be like a weird gym stalker, so you're not like, you don't, can't like just stare at them using it, even though you want to. So now you can just stare at someone on your phone doing it, right?
Yeah.
QR code it up. Yeah, so I think like lack of knowledge is really just less and less of a barrier with, you know, with smartphones, like you said. And now that you got the QR codes, everyone's got a phone up there, so boom. And if you don't, for some reason, you know, we've got staff there that can show you and want to show you. Let people show you things, you know? People want to pass on their knowledge. It makes them feel good. I think people forget how willing people are to share because, you know, you might feel like you're putting someone, when you ask a favor, when you ask someone how to do something, you might feel like, you know, you're putting them out or inconveniencing them. But people who've been working out a long time, like Paul just said, they want to pass on their knowledge. Mm-hmm. They don't want to see things being done the wrong way when they themselves know how it could be done. So hit them up, you know? And then it's like, okay. So we talked about expenses, right? We've talked about judgment. We've talked about knowledge. You know, I was always told the most valuable thing is your time.
Yep.
Time. We're all so busy. I'm so busy. I wanted to work out, but I'm too busy. And people are busy. People are busy. So what are they going to do about that one, Paul? That's not an easy one.
No, it's not. I mean, yeah, like we've been talking about this all, you know, episode, just keeping it short and sweet, doing what you can with the time that you have. A lot of people we see, you know, around 12:30, there's a big influx of people coming in the gym. They're coming in on their lunch break. And if you only have an hour, that's fine. You come in for 30 minutes, take a shower for 10, and then, you know, you're back on your way to work. If you want to come in the mornings, during the week, it's open. The gym opens up at 5:30 in the morning, obviously.
And you'd be surprised how many people actually do come in at 5:30, 6.
Yep. And it's open until 9 o'clock at night. So if you want to come by after work, there's plenty of time to do that too. So, you know, we try to make it as accessible as possible at the gym to work around your schedules. Can't do 24 hours though. But yeah. We have a pretty expansive schedule, and, you know, come in for 20 minutes, come in for 30 minutes, come in for 10 minutes, whatever it may be.
Yeah, I mean, I like to multiply things, you know, just in life. I like to see, like, you know, if I just did this and then multiply it out, what's it equal? You know, so if you just think, like, if you just came in and did three lifts, right, three mm-hmm. lifts per day, spend 15 minutes in the weight room, you multiply that out by, say, 300 days out of the year, you've done, I don't know, do the math, thousands of lifts, right? So, and once you build those muscles, you know, you change the physiology of your body. Your body wants to, it'll store sugars in your blood, or it'll get used by your muscles, right? So just like building muscles, doesn't have to be this grueling, sweaty, time suck, expensive thing. You know, it can be a cheap, quick, intense, but you know, I think most of us can deal with intensity for a pretty short period of time. I think humans were pretty much evolved to do that, you know, like a quick fight, a quick sprint. And so, you know, just like take advantage of your own human inclinations to get yourself improved.
Yep.
And we're here to do that, help you do that. And I think the city of Bethel has done a pretty good job of making it accessible. So it's on you, everybody. You've got the opportunity. You can find that little bit of time, and you're worth it. You know, you are worth it. We've got kids, we've got jobs, all of that, but we can serve others best when we take care of ourselves first.
That's right.
We'd love to see you up at the fitness center. We're getting into that Thanksgiving, Christmas time. Got some fun events coming up. But yeah, if you missed the PFD sale, a lot of people took advantage of it, half off. But we're going to be promoting the Equitable Access Program. So again, head to our website, ykfitness.org. You can click around. You'll find the EAP program. And again, it's just two questions: how many people live in your house, and what is the estimated annual income? And boom. Get that huge discount. Get a membership for yourself, your family, and literally everyone in your house. That's good for a whole year. So, you know, Paul, you're a Jesuit volunteer. You would obviously apply for, you'd be able to get that program.
Yeah.
But let's say next year you hit it big. You hit the money. You get that big hospital job. Regardless, that status, that EAP status is valid for a full year. So it's not like you just all of a sudden... Your membership fee would jack up. Mm-hmm. We'd have to ask you again in a year, but how much you're making, and that might change the discount. But the point is, you just do this once a year, and everyone in your household could benefit. If you've got a big household, if you've got kids that you've been wanting to get to the pool, no, you don't have to pay the day pass every single day. You don't have to spend, you know, you don't have to spend like that. You can come in with a membership for all of them. That you can afford. And of course, on Wednesdays, the fitness center pool, the pool is a teen center, half off for all teens, thanks to the YK Delta Lifesavers. So these are just, you know, little things to help you make it easier and easier to be the you that you want to be. Mm-hmm. So yeah, heading into Thanksgiving, Paul, you've been working out. You're going to put some, excessive Thanksgiving calories in, you're hoping for?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Hopefully I can gain a little bit more muscle with all that turkey I'm going to eat.
Right on. Some lean proteins.
Yep.
And, hey, we want to see you up there. Come ask about the Equitable Access Program, you know, right before Thanksgiving, right after Thanksgiving, before the holidays, and then, of course, into January 1st and the brand new year, and it's always a good time to kind of look for new motivation, but as we talked about, it's going to take more than motivation, but we can help you. We can help you, and you can help yourself with hopefully some of the tips that you've learned today on Wellness Wednesday. Paul, thanks again for being with me on this great episode.
Of course, yeah.
Everyone at KYUK, it's nice to see you again. Always nice to be in the building, and thanks again for everyone who supports KYUK. We want to keep the conversation going so we can be the happiest, fittest, best versions of ourselves up and down the Kuskokwim River, out on the coast and on the Yukon. It's good to talk to you, and we'll see you later.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to Wellness Wednesday, a show about health and wellness in the Yukon Kuskokwim Delta. Listen online at kyuk.org. Or tune in live every Wednesday at 10 a.m. right here on KYUK.